You know, in the last days, we're going to see a lot of miraculous things that are weird. And as you saw last week on the film, people are going back to Israel. As you look at those, and you see the different people, the Chinese Jewish people, the Indian Jewish people, we're going to go into Pakistan, we're going to go into all these areas, they all know the Jews. And a lot of these people have got a tremendous drawing to bring them back into the land. And we're seeing that today. We know that in the last days, there's going to be an Antichrist rise. Israel is going to be back in her land. We know that they're going to build a temple in the temple area, probably not alongside the Mosque of Omar. They're probably going to, it's going to have to get out of the way, one way or another. We don't know all this is going to happen, and how much of this are we going to see? Who knows? If you look over here, and you see the tribulation period, that's 7 year period of time. That 7 year period of time starts right after the rapture. We talked about the seven feasts of Israel this morning, and the feast of Israel that covers the rapture is which one? Remember? Yeah, which feast is the type of the rapture? The Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets. All right? That's a type of the rapture. They blow the trumpet. And in the last, in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Go there for just a moment, someone. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Have you just about got that new Bible whipped out there, Kathy? I know that you're working on it.
4:16-17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord.
All right. That's a rapture. There are people that don't believe in the rapture at all. They said the word rapture is not in the Bible. Well, the word rapture is. It's a snatching away. It is there. Simple as that. We got our word raptor. You know what a raptor is? What is a raptor? It's a bird of prey with claws. With claws. It has to have talons. A vulture is not a raptor. A crow is not a raptor. Raptors are hawks and eagles. All right? These are raptors because they can leave the marks. And literally, in the Greek and the Latin and the Hebrew, it talks about the marks of the raptor. All right? The Lord is going to snatch us away and take us up this period of time. But what's going to happen on the earth? Why is the tribulation period coming on the earth? Why? To bring Israel back to God so that God will vindicate his name. Now your Augustine and your Calvin and Luther, they believe in what they call replacement theology. Okay? It means that all the promises that were made to Israel were turned over, nullified to Israel, and put on the church, applied to the church. That sounds real good. But when you do that, then you nullify the promises of God. Remember when Moses was up on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, and God said, get down there off the mountain. Those people have gone astray. Remember that? What were they doing? Dancing around a golden calf that Aaron had made. All right. Calling it Jehovah. That's a bad thing. Okay? Well, God said, just stand back. I'm going to kill all of them. What did Moses say? Don't do it. Why? Why? For your name's sake, don't do it. Because of your promise, don't do it. Now, if God followed Calvin and Augustine and Luther's prescription for the incoming and did all of this, well, wouldn't he be doing exactly what Moses said not to do? All right. Those promises were indelible. We don't remember the indelible pencils of long ago. How many of you know what an indelible pencil is? All right. We don't even have them anymore, I don't think. They were ones that wouldn't erase or anything. It was, you write it right with an indelible pencil, it was there, just like ink. Okay? Yeah. You had to wet it to make it right, but it would write just like ink. Okay? They always stick it in their mouth and write with it, stick it in their mouth and write with it, with an indelible pencil. All right. Well, God's promises are indelible. It's what we call an unconditional covenant. That unconditional covenant God is going to honor with Israel for His name's sake, not because of them. Why, the Jews deserve to be destroyed. Just like, you know what caused the Holocaust? What caused the Holocaust? It wasn't Hitler, I can guarantee you. Luther called for hundreds of years for the annihilation of the Jewish people. He had been preaching that in Germany for the annihilation of the Jewish people. He said, put them in concentration camps, neuter the men, do not let them multiply, do not let the women have any children, work them to death. That was his prescription for the Jewish. He said, they crucified the Messiah, they deserve to be exterminated. But he didn't believe in the promises of the Bible, the indelible promises of God. They missed the economy of God altogether. Yeah, God is pulling it. He's going to call them back to the land. If you look, this map is really important. This, you really need to memorize this and look at the scriptures on here. Right here, it talks about the dispersion of Israel, Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19. Then we have the regathering of Israel, Ezekiel 36, 20 through 24. And if you look over here, the restoration of the kingdom of Israel, it starts out with a dry bone deal in 36, 25 through 38. It starts out with the regathering of Israel, the dry bones, and then the promised Israel. And for 1,000 years, Israel will be God's administrator on this earth for 1,000 years. They will serve the Lord. It says that God will cause them to be born again all in a day, all the remaining Israelites in one day. Now let's go to the map or to the video here. I hope this is doing you some good. Yes. The trump of God. The trump of God. Now there, I think so. I think we're going to hear a trumpet. I let take things literally, unless it's otherwise. The trump of God. There are many trumpets. Now during the tribulation, if you got your tribulation map, there's a lot of trumpets in there. But those are different trumpets. The last trump in the church age is the trump that we will hear. The trump of God. There'll be the voice of God, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God will all sound evidently simultaneously. And I think it's going to change the world when that happens. I think it's going to greatly affect. Yeah, that's after the rapture. But then are there going to be any more raptures after the rapture? No. What happened in Noah's day? Jesus said, many of the disciples that we talk about, as in the time of Noah, so will the second coming of the Son of Man be. What happened in Noah's time? Noah built an ark for 120 years. And many people say, well, a man's going to live 120 years. That's not what the scripture says there. It said man had 120 years to make a decision. And a lot of people lived that long. They were living hundreds of years back then. For 120 years, Noah preached. But before that, for 300 years, Enoch preached. He preached the same judgment and the same judgment coming upon man. For 300 years, so for 420 years, they heard the preaching. And the ark was built. They saw the ark prepared. All of a sudden, God says, get in there. God called the animals. The animals went in. Noah's family went in. Nobody else. That's it. God had raptured Enoch. Enoch was no more. That's a type of the rapture. God shut the door. And it says in two or three places in the New Testament, it talks about those souls that were disobedient in the time of Noah. I believe that there were saved people on the outside of that ark after it started raining and after it started flooding. But they didn't get in the ark, people. It was too late. Now we find out that during the tribulation period, there's going to be a lot of people saved over there. But they're not going to get in the ark. The ark has already come and gone. The boat has gone. The ship has sailed. They're going to have to stay here and put up with this. When God raptures his people, I think it's going to greatly affect the world. When it started raining, judgment came. God flooded the world. Then they knew, well, yes, the judgment has come. Enoch preached it for 300 years. Noah preached for 120 years. Here it is. Now, God save us. But he didn't save them, did he? He saved them and might have forgiven some of them, but they called out on the Lord as they died.
But in the tribulation, they're not going to call out to be saved. They're
going to
curse God.
Some of them are going to curse God, but many are going to be saved. It says a number of people are going to be saved without number. But many of them are going to curse God. Many of them, they're going to try to die, try to kill themselves. They can't do it. They're going to be immortal, so to speak. They won't be able to kill themselves. That's a horrible time. Of course, we're going to be studying some of that here as we go. Let's go in and look at this picture now, the video, and we'll... I don't know whether everything's true on here. This is done by non-Christian people. I want you to know that. These people are Jews. But these Jews are wanting to go home. They want to go home. And this is kind of a universal call, so it's an unusual thing. I mean, and here we know that this is going to happen. We're Christians. We believe this, okay? We know about that. But here these people aren't even Christians. But they have, and they're hearing the call. See if I can get this thing to work. Well, he didn't tell you the rest of the story, did he? The rest of the story is, yes, they're going to go back to the land. Definitely. God will call them back to the land, but how many people in the Battle of Armageddon and all during the tribulation period, how many people of the what we call the non-Jewish people, how many of the non-Jewish people are going to die? 5 out of every 6 of them. How many Jews are going to die? 2 out of every 3 are going to die. Now it says in the last days that all of them are going to be saved in one day, which is wonderful. Some of them are going to, God is going to bring them back so he can use them again to be administrators in his kingdom. I hope that this, did this help you a little bit, seeing this stuff? You know, you see this. This is not by some, this is not by evangelical Christians. This is by the Jews. All right? This is the Jewish people doing this. Uh-huh. Some of them are Jews, some of them are Israelites. The Cohens, of course, are part of the Jewish people, all right? But they're all gone. The tribes are all scattered all over the world. We know that they were scattered every which direction. God said they would be. You know, the scattering, the dispersion of Israel, all right? And then we see in the last days the regathering of Israel, and then we see the dry bones prophecy that they'll be brought back together. Now, that's where we're going to begin next week here in the 5th chapter of the book of Revelation. Let's look at it. And I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne, and the book written inside and on the back, sealed up with 7 seals. That's why I gave you a little picture of that scroll up there. It was very important that you see the scroll, because that's a scroll. It's not a book, not a codex like this. It's a scroll, and it's sealed with wax seals in different places, is what it's talking about. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to break its seal. All right? And no one in heaven or on earth and under the heaven was able, was powerful enough, qualified, to open the book and to look into it. Now there's previews of coming attractions. That's where we're going to go next week, and we're going to unfold some of these mysteries, so-called mysteries, of the book of Revelation. We see this, we understand that Israel is going to come back to the land. And we have a time, we studied this morning about the Feast of Pentecost. We studied about, you know, the Atonement, the Passover, the Feast of Trumpets, and we talked about the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost basically is in the period of time that we live in prophetically. The church is out evangelizing. Jesus said in his own time, the fields were white unto harvest, but what kind of a problem did he have? And didn't have enough workers in the field. And today, God's churches are trying to reach people with the gospel. They're trying to reach people with the gospel. And we have this period of time, but it's going to be cut off one of these days at the sound of that trumpet. And then there's going to be many more trumpets blown. But the last trump in the church age is going to be the rapture. All right. Do you have any questions? Any questions? Brother John, you got any questions? No? No questions.
Just trying to understand what you're doing.
What?
Just trying to let it sink in.
Yeah. Well, it takes time to understand all the stuff. Book of Revelation, you know, so many times people wouldn't even read the Book of Revelation. Catholics didn't fool around with it at all because it's written so much about them. I was a Catholic, I wouldn't read it at all either. Your Calvinists, your Presbyterians, your Lutherans, they didn't take any stock in Revelation whatsoever. Period. They just ignored it. Because they were what? Replacement theologians. They replaced Israel with the church. Those promises were nullified. The book of Revelation was just a story. That good is going to overcome evil in the long time. In the long run, it has nothing to do with end time prophecy, according to them. If the book of Revelation and the book of Ezekiel and the book of Daniel, if these books weren't relevant to the last days, I want to tell you one thing absolutely. Israel wouldn't be in existence today. The whole world has tried to destroy the nation of Israel. Do you know that? The devil tried to destroy the nation of Israel. Why is the devil so rabid on destroying the nation of Israel? And God's promises. If he can thwart God's promises, then he could overcome God, couldn't he? That's why. Now, if Luther was right, and Calvin was right, and Augustine was right, God has been over, you know, Luther tried to destroy all the Jews in Germany. That's what he called for. And Hitler just put into the works what Luther had called for. That's what he did. Well, yeah, because of Luther. Yeah. It's been all over. When you think of the Jewish community, what do you think of in big cities? Hawk shops. Hawk shops. You know why you have hawk shops? Why do you have a hawk shop? Hawk shops are literally what? Banks. They're savings and loans. That's what they are. But they're not called that. All right? The reason why is they wouldn't let the Jews deal with any money, and they wouldn't let them have any bank system at all. They ran them out all over the country. In Spain, when they ran them out of Spain, they wouldn't have them have any gold, any silver, anything. So guess what the Jews started dealing in? Diamonds. Now those coins that left and went into different places, they took their gold and silver making trade with them, didn't they? There were silversmiths and goldsmiths. They did that, and they're still doing that all the way from Aaron's time. Think about that. Talk about generations and generations. Well, I hope you're enjoying this study. Cohen means priest. this is basically the way you would spell it, all right?
Okay.
Kohen. All right, Kohen. It's the Hebrew word for priest, all right? Kohen. That's right. A lot of them named Levine or Levi, all right? We see that. Any other questions? Or is it starting to sink in? A little bit, by a little bit. As we get into the book of Revelation, we're going to go and study this. We started in the fifth chapter of Revelation tonight. Just a little bit to give you a preview of coming weeks. But I wanted to get this film down so you would understand what's going on. The rest of the book that we're in here has got to do with Israel, not the church. The trumpets you hear there and everything else are for Israel, not the church. We've got the last trumpet already. The last trumpet is the rapture. We're taken up. But what's going to happen on the earth as we're the marriage feast of the Lamb after the rapture? Here's the earth like this. We go up to New Jerusalem, don't we? The city of God. The city of God. The city four square. How big is that city, approximately? 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. Amy McPherson, that four square churches. That's Amy McPherson. Calvary Chapel, that's Amy McPherson. All of these. The four square, the city four square that she talked about. Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. That's a large apartment, isn't it? There's a city of Jerusalem. It probably will be a satellite, basically, over the earth above the city of Jerusalem. And it will be up there. It will be like a sun. It will be, well, here we got it already. It will be like the sun shining out to the earth like this. All right? And it will be up there above the earth. God will be up there. But way up in there, while it's still in heaven, Hashemayim, or Epi Uranois, in the heavens above, that's when all of the saved are raptured, and the church is raptured, and the bride that has made herself ready. Now, these people here in the tribulation period are not part of the bride of Christ. They're not part of the bride. The bride is with the Lord. All right? Now, up in heaven, there is a... How long was a wedding feast in the Bible? How long was a wedding feast? A week long. 7 days. All right? And the book of Daniel is called what? It's called Daniel's week. There's a week, a period of time in Daniel. It's called the week. It's a week of 7 years, in other words. 7 years. So during the seven-year tribulation period upon earth, there is a wedding feast. The wedding week is taking place in heaven with the Lord and His bride. Now, a lot of things happening down on the earth, but the Lord is greeting His bride. And it's very beautiful, because when a man was engaged to his bride, he would pour her, the engagement was, he would pour her a glass of wine. What did the Lord leave in His church when we do the memorial service of the Lord's Supper? The glass of wine for His bride. All right? He would pour her a glass of wine, and then He said He would come at midnight or whatever, and He would holler her name out. Come out! She had to be ready at any time of the day or night when He would come. He would call her out. And there is the trump, the Feast of Trumpets, the trump of God calling out His bride, and all the saved, they'll go up there. Now, there's going to be guests in the wedding, and there's going to be the bride at the wedding. And then there's all this stuff is going to be taken down on earth. God calls Israel His bride also. Now, she was an unworthy bride and everything, and I'm running off too long here. I'm going to shut down. But it was a marriage that He made with her, and He talked about her as an unfaithful wife so many times in the Bible, an unfaithful wife. But in the end, Israel will serve God for 1,000 years on this earth. There will be at least 1,000 feasts of tabernacle. The Feast of Tabernacles. There will at least be 1,000 of them held on this earth. And tabernacle means what? That's the dwelling place. God wanted to dwell with his people. They will, every year during the Feast of Tabernacles, they will have this Feast of Tabernacles, and they'll come there, and they will see the city of God up above the earth. Up above the earth like the sun or the moon shining. All right? And they will be worshiping God down there in tabernacles. And we're going to get to see that on our Sunday morning tape. You know, the Jehovah Witnesses say they don't want to go to heaven, they want to go to the kingdom. There will be a kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. I don't want to go to that kingdom. I want to be in heaven. I want to be in heaven. Because to get into that kingdom, I got to go through the tribulation period. I don't want that. All right, and besides that, I want to be saved beforehand. All right? I'll tell you one thing. If they're going to get in the kingdom, in the end, they're going to have to be believers in Jesus Christ and Jehovah. They will have to call upon the Lord to save them anyway. There's only one way you're going to get to exist in that kingdom. I said this morning, I talked a little bit about it. Women will be able to have 1,000 children then. Yeah, basically, for 1,000 years. Basically, 1,000 children they can have. A woman can biologically, I mean, you're not going to live that long right now, but you have got enough embryos in you for 1,000 children. Women do. That's possible, and the reason why it's there is because of that, and because of what happened over here. As sin so captured our lives and permeated and infected us, we become more and more fragile through time. But women could live 1,000 years. They could have 1,000 children. And probably Eve probably had 1,000 children. All the way down through here, and again on this earth, the earth will become fruitful, just totally fruitful again. Just totally fruitful. This bare, with no thorns or thistles or anything. Thorn, every time you step on a thorn or have a weed in your yard, it ought to remind you of sin. All right, I got to turn you loose on the world. I've done about everything I can do for you. Brother David, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?